all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, live with the Indiana men's basketball team, is our good friend Joe Smith. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Well, Glass, how are we doing this morning?
I'm riding solo. I'm here alone. Keith has deserted me for the finer. Yeah. You know, he's on some volunteer board or doing something somewhere. Yeah. And well, those do-gooders, Joe, they're hard to keep down. They're always doing good somewhere. So I'm it's you and me this morning and the gang. The gang's with us. Those of us who are still here for spring break, and we're excited to get caught up with you. I know you've had a very quick turnaround. You got home Saturday afternoon from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. Sunday evening, you find out your destination is Atlanta. I won't get into with you. It's not fair for you. We'll talk about that some other day, or you can bring it up about why we're playing in Atlanta. I've already had my say this morning. But that's where Indiana basketball is. The show is on the road. It's the Thriller Dome on the campus of Georgia Tech. Another bright and early 9 o'clock start tonight. And tell us what you saw on your travels and what we need to know in Hotlanta, which I guess isn't very hot this morning.
No, I tell you, it's not very hot. As a matter of fact, Atlanta will not see 45 degrees today. The rains came pretty hard last night, and cloudy skies the rest of the day, and temperatures no higher than 45 degrees. So we begin the postseason here in the NIT, here in the Peach City of Atlanta, Georgia, where the basketball Hoosiers of Coach Tom have arrived at the Hyatt Regency Midtown after busing to Indianapolis and flying out around 7 o'clock last night. The team gathered in the atrium, got their rooms, also then had a team meeting and a little dinner after the flight, and are due to be up and at it with a walkthrough and a normal, road trip situation tonight against the ACC Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. It's a meeting with John Pastner's club. He's the ACC Coach of the Year, and certainly he has turned some heads with how he's kind of laid his foundation in season one, and very much looks forward to hooking up with the Big Ten and the blue blood, as he calls it, of college basketball, or at least one of them, the Indiana Hoosiers, as we get rolling in the NIT. Well, certainly it's an opportunity for both clubs to value the future here with hopeful runs that, well, could take the Hoosiers to the Final Four at Madison Square Garden the final week of the month. Haven't played in the NIT since 05, 10 total games, 7 wins. And that title, I do remember Butch Carter hitting a buzzer beater to beat Purdue at Madison Square Garden in 1979. That was the one title that Indiana won. And then kind of a bummer when they finished runners-up to UCLA back in 1985. That was Reggie Miller's ball club, if I recall. So, there's the cliff note on the Hoosiers' history in the NIT. We have an 8,600-seat McCamish Pavilion. The venue is in its fifth year for Yellow Jacket Hoops. One thing they do well, they defend the home court. They're 15-4 here this year, and that's very impressive. And what was impressive for me was that they were 7-2 here at home in the ACC, certainly the strongest league in the country, and one that has 9 teams placed in the NCAA tournament when we get rolling a little bit later this week. They're a well-put-together team. I'm trying to, with the quick turnaround and everything, I'm trying to give you an idea of what kind of a ball club this is compared to some of the teams. I think they're a mixture of a Northwestern Minnesota type team. They do have some senior leadership that we'll talk a little about, because I think now is, it's now or never for the seniors, if you will. Indiana doesn't have any. Georgia Tech has a couple we'll talk about a little bit later this morning in our matchups. But it's a well-put-together ball club, and, they have the defensive presence of maybe not concept-wise, but of a Wisconsin team where they're pesky and they force turnovers and what have you. But yet, too, they can get the ball scored with this all-freshman young man, Josh Okoji, who is coming into the ball game averaging, over 17 points. here lately in the season to date. So we'll talk more about the Georgia Tech Ramblin' Wreck, the Yellow Jackets. We used to call them the Ramblin' Wreck a long time ago. We'll call them the Yellow Jackets for now, 2017. It's one of nine games to get things rolling in the NIT. Seven more will be coming up tomorrow night, and then we'll make the draw to see where Indiana goes next as the Hoosiers play on the road tonight, ESPN, a little past 9 o'clock.
It's RamblinWreck.com, Joe, so you're not off. That's the official Georgia Tech athletic site.
All right.
So there you go. Yeah, I think you've nailed it on the head there. The impressive thing is, and we talked about this last night in the zone, if you're coach of the year in the ACC in the league that has Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Rick Pitino, Mike Bray, I could keep naming off a few. Jim Boeheim, you want to keep going. That's a pretty good deal. I think they were Georgia Tech picked last, I believe, in the league. And,
they were due to finish last, and they wound up with eight conference wins. So, you know, they're a little ahead of schedule, which kind of likens me to, you know, I'm not going to say they had the turnaround Minnesota has had, but yet, too, you know, it's kind of the way Rick Pitino started out his program, you know. And they got the personnel reminds me a lot of Northwestern's team, too.
And Josh Pastner, their coach, came from Memphis. Didn't work out there for him. Great recruiter at Arizona. Josh is opening his checkbook tonight. If you've seen the viral video making the rounds, he's more than excited that Indiana, as you mentioned, the blue blood status is coming to town. He's paying for every ticket, every student ticket, rather. For any students that walk in the door tonight, Georgia Tech is not on spring break. So you said 8,900. You probably have a good house tonight and a true road environment for the Hoosiers. And, Joe, let's be fair. The Hoosiers have not played very well on the road this season. There's not a lot of points of emphasis we can point to or points of reference where we say, hey, that worked out pretty well. It was a James Blackman 25-footer at the buzzer to beat Penn State and 96 points to beat 92 at Ohio State. So a big test in front of Indiana tonight.
Oh, no question. And you even go back and throw in, we were 2-7 in the league, and then throw in that debacle up in Fort Wayne in early December. So Indiana this year coming into this fall game tonight, only 2-8 on the road combined this year at true, you know, in true road settings. And obviously this is one of them. This is certainly not a neutral site. And as you suggest, the students not on spring break. So they'll be out in full force. They've been averaging anyway, you know, about 6,800 here throughout their games, I see. So you know, it'll be a tough environment for Indiana.
Sounds like they're excited to be in this, to turn around their program. And let me editorialize here just for a minute. The Indiana team has essentially been told, and you don't have to comment on this, and I don't expect you to, the Indiana basketball, men's basketball team has essentially been told by their administration that they wouldn't get enough fans here to play, so we have to go on the road to Georgia Tech. Fred Glass went on the air yesterday afternoon in Indianapolis and said, hey, look, our season ticket holders, our student season ticket holders, they're not going to be there. That's what makes part of the playing at home special at Indiana University. And we decided 2 weeks ago that we were going to move the game out. So it's essentially that team has been told, when the students aren't in town and the season ticket holders aren't around, they won't draw any people, so you need to go play on the road. I don't know how that came about. I don't know how that's going to work out or play out. But that doesn't – I don't know how I would handle that as a player on the bus, Joe. I mean, it's a great motivator, but to hear Fred Glass dismiss Indiana fans that aren't season ticket holders or students as not being able to provide a proper environment for an NIT game is very disturbing. I don't know why he would split the fan base into the haves and have-nots, but that's what I took from yesterday's explanation, half-splanation, whatever you'd like to call it, and that's very – troubling and sad to hear as an Indiana basketball fan and as an Indiana fan. So to all you people listening this morning, that's why there's no game, because you people that don't buy season tickets and are in town will not provide a good enough atmosphere for Indiana basketball to play, so the show is on the road. And that's a tough, tough thing to say sitting in this chair this morning.
Well, there will be basketball later in the week, I'm still wondering why Michigan State made the NCAA women's and Indiana not, but they got a 9 seed, Indiana and Ball State. Did they set the time for Thursday's game yet?
I'll look that up, Joe. I don't have that right in front of me, so I will look that up.
Okay, but anyway, we'll talk. You know, at least we'll have basketball in the Simon Scott Assembly Hall on Thursday night, the opening round of the WNIT for Terry Morinsker.
So tough
we'll
for
talk more about the matchups and catch you up a little bit later this morning from Atlanta.
Sounds good. Tough for Terry Morinsker. Joe, they only had one top 50 RPI win, and that's when you're splitting hairs at the bottom of the bracket, you know that's just one of the things they're going to look at. Great job as always. Sorry about your weather in Atlanta. Thankfully, basketball is an indoor game, so you'll be warm tonight in front of the big crowd there, and we'll get back with you at 8:45.
All righty, we'll see you then.
We thought we would be checking in with Joe Smith in warmer climes here on a part two of a Tuesday, Joe, but it's a little chilly there in hot Atlanta.
Well, it's 38 degrees right now, so
you don't have us beat by much
for the Georgians, so it's not going to reach 45 today, and the rains are gone, so that's good news, and obviously the white stuff doesn't come around this region all that often.
And you're lucky it's not, because it would bring traffic to a standstill.
Yeah, it's Panic City when they see flakes. But anyway,
you're in Peachtree City, not in Panic City.
The goings on out on the East Coast. I guess we got out of D.C. or in that area just in the nick of time, huh?
You did, and they're not getting a lot of it, but again, that's the same thing. They get an inch or two there, and everybody panics. And yep, you're out of it. So, again, the indoor facility at Georgia Tech will be the host tonight. The Thriller Dome, the Mick Sumpton Pavilion, good for them. Georgia Tech, Joe, more of a football school, but a proud basketball history. But we're not here to see the Georgia Tech Monument or the Georgia Tech Capitol. This is a business trip for the Hoosiers. They've been given life here in the postseason. They've been given life not under optimum circumstances. It will be interesting to see how they react tonight, not on their home floor, but rather in a hostile environment against Georgia Tech. 9 o'clock ESPN, the McCamish Pavilion in hot Atlanta.
Well, it is, and it's going to be a hot venue tonight, no question about it. Not a lot of history with the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, the Hoosiers opening round opponent tonight in the NIT. It's one of nine games on the rather busy Tuesday night NIT schedule as we open up our own little March Madness. The last time we played Georgia Tech was the Big Ten ACC Challenge back in 07. I can remember Lance Stemler. There's a name out of the past. He stepped up and hit some big threes. Eric Gordon was playing for us. DJ White was on that team. Indiana won by 4 points and played on the McCracken court. But they will not be on the McCracken court tonight, as the McCamish Pavilion will be the venue. It's about an 8,600-seat facility, and the last time that a team played here was Syracuse, who they beat, and the place was filled. And Josh Pastner, the head coach, hoping that the place is filled with students, and the atmosphere is quite hot tonight against Indiana. It's a quick turnaround, just trying to get some information. Gosh, we didn't even know who we played until 8:43 on, what was it, Sunday night, and then the quick trip yesterday down here to Atlanta. But come to find out, obviously, through social media and everything else, that this is a team that plays awfully well at home. I love the comment that Pitt head coach Kevin Stallings said, "I don't think you look great too often against Georgia Tech. They scrum the game up. That's the beauty in how they play." Well, they switch a lot of defenses, and ACC regarded as the top conference in the country, what with nine going into the NCAA tournament. But here's a team that shares the ball well, and they do it behind the makings of Josh Heath. He's a 6'2 senior guard out of Tampa, Florida. He distributes the ball well. He averages about five assists a ball game, six points, and he and another senior, Quentin Stevens, rather slender, he's not even 200 pounds on a 6'9 frame, but he's had seven double-doubles this year, and he can step out and shoot the three. Got some size, just averaging under 10 points at 6'9". The man in the middle is the man I'm going to watch for tonight, Ben Lammers. He's got 13 double-doubles, second-team All-ACC, and he's averaging about 14 points, but he blocks about four or five a game, and he pulls down about 9 rebounds. So, and I tell you what, what's going to make it interesting is, you know, how Thomas Bryant responds. Respond on the heart, on the part of the entire Hoosier basketball club tonight, coming off that Wisconsin defeat. But Bryant gave us nothing against the Badgers the other night in D.C., so we'll see how he and Lammers have at it tonight in the post. That'll be key. Todrick Jackson, they call him Action Jackson. He's averaging almost 12 points a ball game. He's their one of their leading shooters on the team. He's had 9 double-digit games this year. And, of course, the guy we talked about earlier, Josh Okoji, and here is your Rookie of the Year in the ACC on the all-freshman team, and a young man that averaged 17 points in league play, 15 overall, can shoot the ball. He's had a high of 38 that he unloaded in one game this year against Tulane. So those are some of the names that you'll be listening for and watching for tonight, ESPN, about 9:05 as Indiana hopes to continue the season. They win tonight. They'll play probably down here again in the state of Georgia in Athens. If Georgia wins, Belmont wins, the game will be played. I don't know where or when. That's what's so mystifying about the NIT. But that said, we can tell you that the Jerry Morin's women will be playing Ball State, and that will be Thursday. The game will be announced, game time will be announced a little bit later today by the WNIT officials. So Indiana, looking for win number 21, they will be in action. We expect Thursday. We don't know the time yet, and we'll pass that along when we get it. So from Atlanta, we get ready for Georgia Tech in the NIT 2017 version, and to see if the Hoosiers can keep the season alive.
And I've got the Twitter feed up for the women's basketball, so if it does pop here in the next 10 minutes or
great.
So, we'll pass it on. If not, we'll put it on social. When we know that game will be at the Assembly Hall for the women, that game will be on Thursday. What we don't know for the women is,
right,
if they win, we know they get St. Louis or IUPUI, Joe, but we don't know where that game is. Well, at least I haven't read it in the release.
No, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag. Choose your own adventure. If you go behind door number 2, what happens if you go behind door number 3?
Well, you know, I would think that if Belmont upset Georgia, Indiana would get the I don't know.
What we saw yesterday from Fred Glass and heard yesterday from Fred Glass from an Indianapolis radio interview was that the Indiana University would not host until the earliest on Monday, March 20th, for men's basketball.
Okay.
So if the women play Thursday and they have to play on the weekend, I don't know who gets – the men are playing in Atlanta because they didn't think the home court crowd or experience would be of something here, so the women get a play here, and I'm with you. I'm no longer guessing on any of this.
I can see where you're going with everything, and you know, with spring break upon us and people free and everything, it would have been nice to obviously be playing tonight at home.
Yeah, a 9 o'clock game, Joe. Nobody's got to go to school in the morning. It's not like
exactly. I mean, you know, and we've had these Christmas packages of games where fans that don't normally have a chance to see Indiana. And I'm talking about Brown, Bartholomew. They come.
Green,
you know, Lawrence, Green, Morgan have a chance to come up and or over or up to Bloomington to see the Hoosiers play. I don't know. But, I mean, we're here in Atlanta in a quick turnaround, and that's the road we start out on. Beyond that, I don't know.
As I mentioned to Dave last night in the zone, Joe, if Indiana had played Belmont in December in Nashville, they might not be playing them in March in Nashville. It's interesting to see how that all works itself out as well, because there's no secret that Indiana's non-conference schedule, besides the heavy hitters they played, has put them perhaps in this NIT, I don't want to say predicament, I don't think that's fair, but what I also don't think is fair, I would have loved to have been, again, and you do not need to comment on this, and I'm not asking you to do so, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when that team was told they were a 3 seed in the NIT and why they were going on the road. I would have loved to see the reaction on those kids' faces when they were told by their administration that they don't draw enough people to justify opening their building during spring break, that they wouldn't get enough people there where it would look bad, the optics would look bad on television. I don't know how you'd explain that to an 18 to a 22-year-old yeah. kid. That to me is very interesting. I know it's not the last we've heard of this. The program, I don't know. I'm just going to sit back and let these next few days work themselves out. I'm not going to throw any gas on any fires that don't need it. And, you know, what we are, Joe, we're basketball fans. We love Indiana, and we love Indiana basketball, and we support the team on the floor. That's never going to change. And we hope the effort, just like they gave against Wisconsin, was good. We hope, Joe, you get a little nervous when you hear best defensive ACC team. Well, Indiana's struggled against that combination in the Big Ten before. Yeah. It might not be the best matchup, but what we do know is Indiana can shoot the lights out. What we do know is Indiana's not going to be afraid of any bigs, strongs, seniors. They've seen it all in the Big Ten. Yeah. They've seen big arenas in the Big Ten. And maybe, I don't know, Michigan, some people could argue, had the near-death experience to motivate them to a great season. Maybe the snub of not being able to play at home fires this team up. I don't think it's going to happen, but we're wishing them the best tonight.
Well, you use one word, you respond, and latch onto that and play a couple of halves. We're going to be playing, by the way, quarters from what I gather. And
you're going to be playing with some new rules. You're going to play with they're not called quarters. They're called segments, because when the first segment ends, Joe, the next segment's going to start at 9:59. It does not go down to zero. So it's a little different than the women's quarters. Yeah. And in those segments, you're going to have five fouls, and there's no one and one. It takes you right to two fouls. If the ball's timed out or violated or whatever, it will advance to the half court, and there'll be 20 seconds on the clock. So, yeah, you'll have a couple new rules tonight, too, that will at least be interesting. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, let's toss her up and see what happens. Postseason has arrived.